Hello. So the reading, as you heard, is from Psalm 90, which can be found on page 599. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by the evening it's dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendour to their children. May the favour of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands."
Great. Good morning, everybody. This one working? Great. Good morning. Let me add another welcome, especially if you're a guest here, if you're just passing through Birmingham or City Church over the new year. We're really, really pleased that you're here. You're really welcome. Hope you feel at home with us. I'm just going to pray now and ask for God's help to understand his word. Father, we thank you for this majestic psalm, this song that tells us so much about who you are and what you're like, and about us and our place in your world. And Father, we want to pray that you would use it to cut through all the ways that we deceive ourselves and all the ways that we think wrongly about our lives and about you. And use it, please, to help us to live well in this coming year and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You might know the poem that starts with the words, "Had we but world enough and time." I wonder if that's familiar to you. It's a poem by Andrew Marvell, "Had we but world enough and time." That might be a familiar sentiment to you, especially over Christmas when things are busy, when there are things you want to get done and you don't get them done. There's never enough time. I wonder if you look back on 2017 and think, where did that go? Where did all that time go? What about all the things I wanted to get done, all the plans I had, all the ambitions that I had for this year? What happened? Where did that time go? Had we but world enough and time. If you go to Cambridge and wander down one of the main streets, you will see, ta-da, there we are. This is a clock outside Corpus Christi College, and perched on top of the clock is a chronophage. That means a time eater. It's quite a creepy clock, if you go and watch it. That golden disc goes round and round, and that's telling the time. And the chronophage kind of walks along the top of it, opening and closing its mouth, munching all the time, literally eating the time as the seconds and the hours go past. And that might be, you might know that feeling, the feeling of, it feels like my time is being eaten up. There's never enough. I never have enough of this time. I pulled a book off our bookshelf yesterday. It was called 1001 Natural Wonders That You Must See Before You Die. And I thought it would be fun to kind of, how far am I through that list? It turns out I've seen 22 of them. 22 out of 1001. And if I really must see them before I die, I'd better hurry up, unless I plan on living until the year 3500. I'd better get my skates on. Perhaps if you're a little bit older, you'll have seen babies grow up into toddlers, grow up into kids, grow up into teenagers, and then off they go out into the world. And you think, whoa, what happened? Where did that go? Our lives are short. And when you realize that, it raises an important question. How do we live well? How do we make it count when time is short? You might have heard the word YOLO. Stands for you only live once. YOLO. People say it when they mean life is short, so you better make it count. Get as much of whatever it is you want, whether it's pleasure or achievement or ambition, get as much of it as you can and squeeze it into your life while you can. Make it count. Here's a quote from Steve Jobs after his first brush with cancer in 2005. He said, "Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Your time is limited, so don't waste it." Hear that same thing? You only live once. Don't waste it. Make it count. Well, this psalm is a psalm about how to live well. It's a psalm about looking at time and how there's never enough, and about our lives and how they're short, and not running away from that, but using it to help us to live well, to be in touch with reality, not to be morbid, but to be in touch with reality and to live well in light of it. And this psalm has three resolutions for us. I don't know whether you're one for New Year's resolutions. If you haven't got any, think about these three. See if these are ones that you could take into the new year. Three resolutions to make your life count. Here's the first resolution. Find your forever home. There's an outline up on the screen if that's going to help you to keep your place. This is the first couple of verses. Let's read them again. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." I wonder if you ever felt like a tumbleweed. You know what a tumbleweed is? It's a plant that grows up in the ground, and then it detaches from its roots and just starts being blown around by the wind. Blown around from one place to another. Not putting down roots, not settling, just keeping on moving, moving, moving. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Maybe Birmingham is a new place to you. Maybe City Church is a new place to you, and you just don't feel at home yet. Maybe you've been seeing news articles about how millennials may not ever own their own home. And that's bothering you. You're thinking, when am I going to have a home of my own? Maybe you've had to fill in one of those forms that asks for your last 5 years address history. And you've run out of paper because there are so many. And you're looking at them and thinking, which one of these is home? Where do I belong? Again, maybe you're a little bit later on in life. And children have moved on. Friends have moved away. And you're thinking, what does that mean for me? Where do I belong now? Well, spare a thought for Moses. If you look at the, just under the heading, Psalm 90, you see this is a song of Moses. That's who this psalm is by. Moses knew exactly what that tumbleweed feeling was like. At the age of 3 months, he was cast adrift on the River Nile in a basket by his own mother. He spent the first 40 years of his life in the palace of the enemy, concealing who he was. He spent the next 40 years as a fugitive in exile, away from home, away from his people. When he came back to his people, they didn't want him. And then when he did lead them out of Egypt, he spent 40 years in the desert, wandering around as a nomad. And when he finally got to the edge of the promised land, when he finally got to the place he could call home, just on the edge of it, he died. He never had a home. He never had a place he could put down roots. Never had that settled feeling. Or so you'd have thought. Look at what he says in verse 1. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place." You have been our dwelling place. Moses is saying, even if you feel chaotic and like life is just blowing you around and you're not settled and there's nowhere you can call home, There is an eternal dwelling place for you. Somewhere you can feel secure. Somewhere that you'll never get evicted from. Somewhere that will never fall down. And it's not heaven. It is God himself. A permanent address. He compares God to the mountains, because mountains are the most permanent things we can think of. If you're happy with the geological timescale, the Appalachian Mountains, 3.5 billion years old, and God looks at them and says, I remember when you were born. You're like toddlers to me. That unchangeable, eternal God can be our dwelling place, our home. If you're a Christian, he is your dwelling place. He is your permanent address. And that changes everything for this psalm. And we're going to come back to that, but Moses moves on now, so we're going to keep going. Our second resolution doesn't come until verse 12, but Moses talks about two things first that we'd rather not talk about. I'm going to look at those really quickly. The first one is verses 3 to 6. And it's about facing our frailty. Let's read verses 3 to 6 again. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They're like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. Moses says God turns us to dust. It's inescapable. The whole of life is an exercise in degeneration. We get gray hair. We get less hair. We get little twinges. Our bodies don't work the way they did yesterday. Apparently, I've been losing brain cells faster than I've been growing them for 8 years now, and there's nothing I can do about it. We're like statues being eroded, but much, much faster. And if it's fast to us, look at God's timescale. 1,000 years is like a day. So that means the oldest woman who ever lived, 122 years old, in God days, that's 22 minutes. If you make it to the age of 70, you'll have lived 12 God minutes. And it's not literal. That's not really how God sees time. But the point is, on God's timescale, we are so frail. Our lives are so short-lived. Moses says we're like grass. And this isn't grass like the nice green lawns at the botanical gardens next door. This is desert grass. This is when there's a little bit of condensation, a little bit of dew between two rocks. And in the morning, a blade of grass grows up between the crack. And then the sun comes round behind that rock. And in the afternoon, it's gone. It's withered. That kind of grass. Think of the person, the most impressive person you ever met, who was most full of life and full of vigor. Moses says they're like grass. They'll be gone soon. It's not particularly nice, is it? It's not comfortable thinking about this. And it might be for you, this is personal. Either you or someone you know, and that makes it more painful. And I want to acknowledge that. This isn't easy to think about. But Moses says we need to think about this. Especially it's painful when you see that God is the one doing it. This isn't just a natural process. Moses says, you turn people to dust. He says, you sweep people away. God is somehow involved in this. And that takes us to the next bit, verses 7 to 10. Looking at God's wrath. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Moses says the reason that life is short and hard is that this is a world under God's wrath. I met a man once who said to me, I'm a religious man, but the God I know would never judge anyone. And I nodded. Oh, that's good. I like the sound of that. That does sound good, doesn't it? We like that. But Moses has got a unique perspective. He spent 40 years leading Israel through the desert. 40 years on a journey that should have taken 2 months. Why? So that a whole generation could die in the desert. Because they had disobeyed God. And so they dug that wilderness until it became a graveyard. Moses literally sees God's people being swallowed alive, eaten up, because they've rejected God. Your God won't judge anyone? That's nice, but he's not this God. I just want to be careful here. God's wrath, we're talking about God's wrath here, that's not like the Greek gods. If you know any Greek mythology, they're always, you know, hurling lightning bolts around the place, and they've got a temper and they're vindictive. It's not like that. God's wrath in the Bible is a settled, fair, consistent hatred of evil. And it says that it comes on anyone who tries to push God out of their world. It's not a tantrum, but it is terrible. And what this psalm doesn't say, but that we know as Christians, is that Jesus came. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus came so that we don't have to face that. Jesus died taking that personal wrath of God so that you don't have to. If you trust him, then God is not against you. But we still see the effects of God's wrath all around us. That is why life is the way it is. Okay, we can breathe. It's a pretty grim picture so far in this psalm, isn't it? The question is, how do we respond to it? Because naturally, we want to ignore those things. Death and wrath, we want to say, no, I don't want to think about those things. Those things are bad for me. I'm going to ignore them. But Moses now says something pretty astounding. Verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Resolution number 2, number your days. And this is really the heart of the psalm. This is the big thing. If you remember nothing else, number your days. Moses is saying those things that you think are bad for you, knowing that this is a world under wrath, knowing that our lives are short, those are exactly the things that you need to think about, the things that you need to get into your mind if you want to live well. As humans, we're like a little kid with a tape measure. We love measuring things. We love counting things. I can tell you that the moon is 384,000 kilometers away. I can tell you the radius of a proton is 0.87 femtometers, whatever a femtometer is. We love measuring things, counting things, apart from our own lives. Charles Spurgeon, the old preacher, said, "We would prefer to count the stars than count our days," which is a pity, because counting our days is much more practical, much more useful. When we think of the future, we don't think of ourselves as ending, do we? We think of ourselves as basically going on forever, especially if you're young, especially if life is going well, especially if you've got enough money to live, especially somewhere that's fairly middle class, somewhere a bit like City Church. Let's do a little thought experiment. Imagine I gave you a calendar, and on that calendar was one day, one page for every day of your life. And I gave this calendar to you, and let's say it was right. I went on deathclock.com last night. I don't recommend it, but I did. And it told me I've got about 18,000 pages left on my calendar. Some of you will have more. Some of you will have fewer. And every day, you tear off a page, and you look at the smaller number of pages left. What difference would it make? What difference would that make to your life? How would you live differently? Here are a few ways that I thought of. I think I'd stop putting off good things until later. I'd stop saying, I'll start reading the Bible with my family next year. I'd stop saying, I'll start praying when life gets a bit easier. Or I'll tell that friend about Jesus tomorrow. There's not that many pages. need to do those things now. I've definitely stopped procrastinating. Someone of our generation maybe spends an hour, maybe more, with technology and media, social media a day. Now let's be generous, and let's say half of that is well used. That is still 500 of my precious pages, 500 of my days given to BBC News and cat videos. What a waste. I imagine if I numbered my days, I wouldn't care so much about what other people thought of me. I wouldn't care so much about what I look like. Of course I'm going grey, I'm turning to dust. What do you expect? Everything would change. And actually, the effect should be bigger than this, because I don't have that calendar. I don't know how many days I have. I might have half left, a third left. I might only have a handful left. Moses says, if you want to live well, if you want to live wisely, then tattoo mortality on the inside of your eyelids. Well, it might sound like Steve Jobs and Andrew Marvell were right. But there's one big difference, and that's if you look back at our first resolution. Where is your home? Where's your forever home? Because Steve Jobs, Andrew Marvell, the people who write the 1001 Places books, they think that this is it. This is all there is. And when this finishes, there's no more. It's game over, blackness. And so you better get it all done now. Squeeze it all into your life now. This is your dwelling place. It's the only one you've got. Moses says, you have got a dwelling place. This isn't it. This is not your dwelling place. You have a dwelling place. Birmingham isn't your dwelling place. Your family isn't your dwelling place. Your job, your friends, they're not your dwelling place. If you're a Christian, God is your dwelling place, and he lasts forever. What does that mean? Well, that means that if 2018 is not a good year for you, let's say you have to move away, leave the place and the people that you love. Let's say the good things you hope for don't happen. That is not a disaster, because this isn't your dwelling place. God is. I think it means that some of us might need to repent and say sorry to God, because we're surrounding ourselves with things and activities that make us think we're here forever. Heather and I have recently bought a house, and we're very grateful for it. Our family have been amazing at helping us to decorate it and sort it out. I've spent so many hours past midnight getting the tiling in the bathroom just right. I'm not saying that's wrong. But I did think the other day, it'd be so easy to be like the three little pigs, building a house out of straw and thinking it'll last forever, and just putting straw on straw on straw. And maybe some of us just need to say sorry to God for acting like this is it. This is our permanent home, when it's not. I'm not saying we shouldn't enjoy life, but Moses says, if you want to be in touch with reality, if you want to use your life well, remember where your home is. Number your days. Do whatever it takes to number your days.